G'day punters, welcome back to the AFL Line season 2016.
We're back to chat.
had a couple of weeks off. In absentia, we've had mixed results as well. But look, good to be back having a talk about footy again. And what looks like a bloody horrible week at first glance.
It does. There's only two or three games worth a damn.
Five goal lines everywhere. It's killing me. But look, why don't you take a couple of moments to tell us about Portugal, mate? How was it over there? Nice and sunny?
It was sunny and warm and everything that Canberra and its snow right now is not.
Yeah, well, it was snowing when I got in the car to leave to come home today from work.
Outrageous.
Snowing. Bullshit. Let's go.
All right, tomorrow night we're at the SCG for Sydney and Hawthorn. Swans laying a little over a goal. Total points line mid to high 170s.
Gut feel here is Swans are probably tracking a little bit too good for the Hawks. I mean, we all know what the Hawks have been doing. They've been getting it done. Would not surprise me in the slightest if they had just found another way to get it done.
Yep.
But obviously the job the Swans did on Geelong last week was massive down at KP. Yep. To win convincingly down there, head-to-head. I think that's another one tally to my favour, but we won't talk about that right now, big fella. Yeah, but look, if I was going to have a bet here, it'd be Swans at the minus, but I'm not going to bet into the Hawks. I'm just going to cheer it on. It's going to be a ripping game of football, and I think whoever wins this game will finish on top of the ladder.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, you look at what home field advantage is usually worth and how the two sides are going, and you think, gee, the Swans laying single figures is the way to go, but the Hawks so rarely start as underdogs, and they usually pull your pants down when they do. They've covered their last three as underdogs. The only three times they've gone out as underdogs in the last 2 years, they've done it easily in each of those occasions. And you know what? If they won by three or four goals here, it actually wouldn't surprise me.
Exactly.
Slight lean to the under, given the recent head-to-head history, but not enough to get involved here, particularly at the SCG in a small ground where they can get away quickly.
It has been humming down in Sydney all week, though, so that may give an extra push to that under.
It might, although the line may well move in sync with it. If there's rain about tomorrow, that one might not be sitting there for too much longer.
Nice.
Friday night, we're over at Subiaco for Fremantle and Geelong. Dockers getting about five goals or a fraction over. Total points line on this one already down around the mid-150s.
Yeah, look, it's a dog of a game, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cats coming off what they'll feel is a very disappointing loss. You'll expect them to come out all guns blazing. Frio have started to show glimpses that they've sort of pulled themselves back in together, but they don't have a lot to play for this time of year, and if it does get a bit tough, they might just decide to sit, take a back seat and let the Cats do what they please. But, nothing really to get excited about in the head-to-head. Frio, as you say, I know you're very fond of saying that, you know, neutral venue versus away and home on the line, but probably when you can add an extra goal or two of that to the Nullarbor, and if this was played at KP, you'd expect this line to start about nearly 10 goals, I thought, and that's about where it should be.
I reckon so.
Nothing here for me, mate.
Yeah, this line opened about mid-160s on Monday, and if it was still sitting there, I'd be happy to steam into the under. I think there's a couple of really good trends that way. Oh, gee, mid-150s, it doesn't leave a lot of space anymore.
Especially a team with Geelong's firepower that can kick 130 themselves without breaking a sweat.
Yeah.
That makes 157 pretty bloody shallow.
Yeah, pretty easy walk away here for me. Saturday afternoon, and it's the first of the Richmond Essendon games that's been a day game for quite some time, I think. Saturday night's usually the standard issue for this one, but the Tigers laying about six goals, total points line mid-170s.
Well, maybe the broadcasters had a bit of way in there and said these two bloody shit-house setups are just not worthy
of prime time.
So Saturday Arvo used to be the pinnacle, but no longer. Look, I thought long and hard about playing the plus in this game. Since Essendon,
Richmond as favourites are not a good way to go.
Well, that in itself, but since Essendon got smacked by Hawthorn, they've actually been really competitive and against a lot better sides.
Yeah.
They've found a way to grind hard and they're playing some good footy. I mean, you know, Danaher and these guys, whilst they're probably not, you know, putting the score on the board as they should be, really giving them a focal point.
Mm.
Their young midfield with some more games under their belt are starting to wax and really play some good footy. And I would be not surprised in the slightest if Essendon got within six goals of Richmond here. But you can't.
With a 1-14 side, you just never know where you're going to crack.
You can't take the plus on a 1-14 side. But what you can do is take the under on a team that is proven in Richmond, proven that they can't score against a team that is hell-bent on stopping the opposition from scoring at all costs to minimise the damage. I'll be surprised if this game breaks 120. So 176, there's plenty of room there, and I'm going to bet it.
There are a couple of good trends here for the under, and particularly the recent head-to-head between these two. The last seven games have all been 173 or below. Five of those have been below 160, but they have all been night games. That's the only thing that steers me out. I'd rather this be a night game and take a flat 170 than a day game and take a mid 170. Leaning under, but not going
to
play it.
The thing with these guys in the shadow, in night games, you might be able to find a bit of a shadow from a goalpost to hide in. No hiding during the day, mate. This game will be played between the arcs. I predict 100 inside 50s for the game, with a scoreboard ratio of maybe one score per 10 inside 50s across both teams.
Well, I'll get you under quite comfortably.
60 points will win this game and do it easy.
Well, there you go. Saturday twilight, we're at the Docklands for North Melbourne and Port Adelaide. North laying about 3 goals, total points line, mid-180s.
Shit, they need a win, don't they, North?
They do.
This is one of the a number of 8-point games this week because if Port Adelaide find a way to knock North off, all of a sudden there's only
North are in free fall and they're the one side that might miss the eight,
and Port are the ones that are coming for them. So you don't say this game won't have some spite in it. North Melbourne probably, well, it's hard to say they've got the rails run here. I know that they might be getting a couple of blokes back from injury and I just don't understand. I don't see how they arrest the free fall that they're in at the moment. They've lost 5 of the last 6. They've gone
and they've lost them comfortably, generally too.
And not necessarily. Like, I mean, doesn't get easier from here for them either. They play 4 genuine top 4 aspirants in their last 4 games. Like, this is an absolute must win for both teams. Like Port Adelaide, you could have said it was a must win last week versus Hawthorn. If they don't win this week, done. The 8th set. Yep. So North Melbourne can lose every game from here on in and still mongrel their way into 8th somehow. Yep. But look, it's going to be a really exciting game. I expect it to be really hotly contested. Even though it's inside, I think the under is the play here. I think it's going to be a stoppage-centric game. I don't see it being a shootout. Neither team... Well, North Melbourne don't mind the shootout. Port Adelaide don't like it. Not the way.
And North not playing with confidence at the moment.
No, not at all. And the forward structure has been diabolical without weight there to really, you know, he takes the number one defender most times. Petrie's been non-existent. Brown's been very serviceable, but without weight there, they've really been struggling. If he's back this week, he'll still be short of a run. I think this game is going to be tighter than they expect. But rather than taking the points, I'm going to play the under in this. I think it's going to be a really hotly contested inside game.
Yeah, I nearly talked myself into the points here. Port got a good record. They don't go out as underdogs of any significance too often, but they're pretty good at covering in those situations. Last two games head-to-head have both been at the Docklands and have both been single-figure margins. One thing that steers me out of the under is they've both been high-scoring games as a North Melbourne versus Port matchup. They do tend to blow out a little bit. So slight lean under, slight lean points, but not enough to play for me. Saturday night, we're up at Cairns at Kazali Stadium for the Western Bulldogs in a notional home game against the Gold Coast. Dogs laying about 5 goals, total points line mid to high 160s.
Yeah, hard to see where Gold Coast get their motivation from. They have been playing better footy in recent times, but Ablett's injury, obviously a massive out for them. He's their real spiritual leader as well as their captain through the middle of the ground. Gives first use to the likes of Hall and those sorts of guys on the outside that can then turn and burn. But Dogsy playing good footy. Yeah, I'm struggling to think of more things to say, to be honest. It's a bludger of a game. Everything's in play here.
Yeah.
Everything's in play.
I would have been happy to play the under based on the opener Monday afternoon of about 175. I feel like there's some space under that. Both the last two head-to-head matches have been in Cairns and both of them have landed in the 160s. Dogs have won of each by around that 4 to 5 goal range. So at a pinch, very, very slightly into the plus and the under, but now it's a mid 160s line. I think the value's gone. Still a slight lean to the under if I had to play, but this is an easy enough walk away for me.
If this low pressure system keeps squealing up, it might just get to Cairns by Saturday night, and it could be a fucking monsoon up there. So if you're
there'd be another game where 100 total might get.
If you're in Cairns and you could be bothered going to watch this game, bring someone with you that's got a jacket that you can steal, because the chance you might get real wet.
And a boat.
Yeah, boat to get home. Boat to get home. There should be some boats there. That's where all the. Nah, don't worry about it.
Second of the Saturday night games, we're at the Adelaide Oval for the Crows and Collingwood. Crows laying about 5.5 goals, total points line almost 190.
Pies on recent form, probably a bit stiff to be starting 5-goal dogs, knocked off.
It's more flag. Reflection than how well Adelaide are going.
I think so, but I mean Adelaide last week were good, but I think Collingwood were better comparatively on what we've come to expect. For Collingwood to knock off G-Dub the way they did, just whether or not they can actually maintain the rage across a couple of weeks. Yeah, again, it's going to be an interesting game to see how the season unfolds. I mean, if the Collingwood can compete, that's actually not what I'm trying to say. If Collingwood can continuously put these sorts of performances together, that's what I was trying to say. We may get the thing that all Collingwood supporters don't want, and that is another year of Nathan Buckley. So that'll be fucking brilliant for everybody that hates Collingwood. They have turned a corner. They're starting to play some good footy. They're getting a lot more out of the blokes that we expected them to get more out of all year. Blokes like Grundy and these sorts of guys are actually starting to show a bit. Travis Cloak's performance last week was heartwarming for all the people that have pet horses that they allow to eat at the dining table with the family. He was brilliant. Well, 12 marks, 6 contested, kick 4. What they've needed from him all year, but has been sadly lacking. But for mine, Crows too strong. I think the margin's about right. It wouldn't surprise me if they won by 10 goals, but not enough interest to warrant a bet. But it's one of those sorts of games that you might watch if you've got nothing else on, but bugger it.
Well, both sides have actually got some really good trends here that point their way at the line, which ends up essentially cancelling them out. Crows, really good side covering at home, really good side laying 5 goals or more. Collingwood, terrific on the road and terrific as underdogs of any significance. Also covered 11 in their last 14 night games. I am going to play here, I'm going to play the under.
Oh.
Crows are still a bit of an overs side in twilight night games. They're a brilliant overs side during the day. Collingwood go clearly to the under at night. Last three head-to-head have all been 180 or less, two of them barely scraped past 150. 190 in a night game at this time of year, I've got to take that. I'll be playing the under.
Beautiful.
Sunday afternoon, we're at the MCG for Carlton and the Eagles. Carlton getting about 5.5 goals, total points line mid-170s.
Yeah, again, this is one of those 5-goal lines where you sort of feel like Carlton probably deserves to be slightly closer. Given West Coast record on the road this year, they haven't put scores up. Carlton have been serviceable every week without blowing the doors off, but they're an honest team. They'll work hard and they'll mitigate as much as they can. But you just feel like a lot like we spoke about I think a couple of weeks ago with West Coast, they could be 2 goals up with 15 minutes to play and win by 8 goals. Like that's just that they love
bullying bad sides.
They do and. I mean, for them to have any sort of legitimacy at all this year, they need to win this game and win it well. They need to win at the MCG against a team that they should beat, that they've got done for class across every line. They should smash them, but
they're still red hot in the race for the top four.
Absolutely. Which is amazing. But something tells me that this is the sort of game that Carlton will just get up for. Brendan Bolton will be in them and say, you know, if you guys want to be competitors next year and you want to build, these are the sorts of games where you have to prove yourself against top opposition that are better than you.
Yep.
You have to outwork them. And that's the sort of response he's been garnering from his troops this year. So, again, I'm probably not going to play this one, but I've got a very, very strong lane to the plus.
I can't take the line, but I do think you're right. If I was going to have a bet here, I think it would be towards the points. actually contemplating the under. This is definitely West Coast, really strong underplay on the road. They don't bully sides basically because they don't score.
Mm.
Carlton, not a high scoring side, particularly this year, and a much more stout defensive unit.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to get involved here. I'm going
to
get the under.
Look at that, the big fella's on the board.
I had the Crows under as well.
Nah, well, don't worry about that. Two in a row, that's all right.
Second of the Sunday afternoon games, we're at the Docklands for St Kilda and Melbourne. Saints getting about half a goal, total points line near enough 190.
I hate both of these teams at the moment. I actually really enjoy watching them both play. St Kilda, a young team on the up and up, and so are Melbourne, if we're frank about it.
Mm.
So much to like about the way they go about their football, but I hate them because they've both fucked me over every time I've trusted them this year. St Kilda, I've expected to play better when dogs, and they haven't.
Yep.
Melbourne, I've expected to play better every week, and more often than not, they haven't.
Yep.
I'm going to give it one more crack. If it doesn't work this week, then they're both on my blacklist, and they're going to need to win flags before I trust either of them again. But Melbourne should win this game. Less than half a kick in it. From what we've seen, exposed form across the course of the season, more importantly, exposed form across the last 2 weeks, Melbourne are a far superior outfit, and they should win this game comfortably. Mm. I'm going to take the points. The only thing that probably gave me pause is the fact that St Kilda just somehow, they just pull these performances out of their ass every 4 weeks where they play.
Well, they did it against Melbourne earlier in the year. You went into that game going, yeah, Melbourne laying 2 goals. Yeah, they're definitely a better side on paper. And
well, Melbourne are a better team now than they are then, than they were then. It's done. Melbourne minus. Melbourne will win. Where's bloody Gilbert McAdam when you're there? Gonna take this week? Demons.
This is a really easy walk away for me. I don't trust either of them to do anything good right now.
Yeah, see, but that's why you battle, mate. Because you don't pick the genuine 50-50s. We need a dartboard around here.
I'm no good at the genuine 50-50s. That's the one thing you want to do is figure out who I'm tipping in this game and just lay the hell out of them.
Perfect.
Final game of the weekend, Sunday twilight. We're at the Gabba. What a bludger of a game this might be. Brisbane and the GWS Giants. Lions getting about 9 goals. Total points line about 190.
I'm going to take GWS at the plus. They will be roasting after their performance last week.
Well, especially if you can get plus.
GWS at the minus, obviously. GWS plus 53.5. I've had to pay Mr. Hill $15 to put the bet on and get nothing back for it, but I can say I did. No, GWS at the minus, obviously. They'll be roasting after their performance last week. They would... would be filthy that they allowed an opportunity to sneak into the, or to cement themselves in the top four, get past them. That won't happen again. We've said it consistently, Brisbane are a 5-goal better side at the Gabba.
Yep.
I don't care. If this was played anywhere but the Gabba, I'd be backing GW to win by 100+. And they still might. They've got them for line speed. They've got them for tools at both ends of the ground. Brisbane try hard, but they're just a step off, and they make rookie mistakes. They don't have the explosive running pair in the midfield. Blokes like Daniel Rich and Tom Rockliffe get the ball, but they're not explosive runners, where your Dylan Shields and your Tom Scullies and these guys, Kelly, just burn the ground. Mm. And this could be an all-time record for inside forward 50s. I think GW could have 80+ inside 50s in this game, and they will shit it in.
I got close to that one.
Get on it.
I'm going to have the over.
The over? Well, GW could kick 190 himself.
Yeah.
So that's not a bad bet.
I mean, I mark this game as a total of 200 because Brisbane can't stop anyone.
No, but you also have them scoring 75 points, and they haven't done that in the last 3 weeks put together. So.
Well, they scored 113 against the Gold Coast.
That's a very good point, but that was a that was a different game of football.
They scored 82 against the West Coast.
Good on you, mate.
That again, 82 versus 130, that'd be just fine.
With all your fucking research, mate. Come on.
Brisbane score a few, but they can't stop anyone.
No, that's a good point.
I had this game marked as a 200 line and happy to step into the over.
Beautiful.
So I've got a total of 3 all totals. Under in the Adelaide Collingwood game, under in the Carlton West Coast game, over in the Brisbane GW game.
I've got 4, 2 and 2. I've got unders Richmond Essendon unders, Northport, and then Melbourne minus and G-Dub at the plus minus.
Good luck and good punting, folks.